Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. And your brain masseur, get ready for your brain massage. New book from the brain masseur, Let My People Breathe, Unmasking the Mask Controversy, Proof that Surgical and Cloth Masks Do Not Work to Reduce the Spread, A Review of the Science and the Scripture on the Mask Question, A Return to Freedom. It's ready for publication. I'll offer a synopsis of my newest book today and explain why it matters. The Davos Devils are panicking. The World Economic Forum, WEF, is taking hits. I read here in this headline, well, that's interesting. What is Davos about and why should you be paying attention to the WEF? The Democrat move to dump Biden unfolds. Well, this was not unexpected, but what does it mean? The Twitter turf war chronicles continue. What's going on with Twitter? Still shadow banning and canceling conservative speech? How much control does Elon have over his company? Powerful missiles of insight to be launched. Why the government cannot control misinformation or disinformation. Why giving government power over truth and love necessarily leads to increasing lies and hate. The J6 travesty. The travestying of justice. Yeah, it is a word. Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
New book from the brain masseur, Let My People Breathe, Unmasking the Mask Controversy, Proof that Surgical and Cloth Masks Don't Work to Reduce the Spread, A Review of the Science and the Scripture on the Mask Question, and A Return to Freedom. My newest book is ready for publication. A friend and fellow faithful righteous brainiac. By the way, that's not DC's brainiac. That's the righteous brainiac. A brain massage listener who's been at it for at least 3 years. Har har. Larry is creating a graphic we hope to use in the book, and I need him to read over it one more time. But we're going to stay on schedule to release the book into your hands within 1 month. It's going to take about a month to process the publication for release. We need about $3,000 to launch this effort. If you want to help, send a donation through the brainmassage.net website. In the notes, type, Let My People Breathe, so we will apply your gift appropriately. We're moving away from PayPal, by the way. Our bookstore site, books@dbp.com, now offers an alternative payment path through WooCommerce. And once we're satisfied everything there is going to work like it should, we will then set this up for the brainmassage.net website and the santamarialighthouse.org websites to bypass PayPal altogether. So, for those of you watching that, be patient. Here is a synopsis of my newest book. First, I was perplexed by the mask mandates and actually surprised at first, and then chagrined at how many people willingly subjugated themselves to this. And that's because some years prior, I came across articles that debated the efficacy of masks used for healthcare workers. I'll bet you didn't know that a significant body of literature can be assembled that presents arguments debunking the myth, it's believed by these writers, these scientists, that the mask use in healthcare settings can reduce viral spread. It's generally agreed that masks provide protection from doctors inadvertently expressing bacteria or even fungi into open wounds when working on patients or when in close proximity, and I mean like up close and personal for extended periods. But even then, the consensus of medical science, and I mean real science, is that masks are not effective at protecting against something so small as a virus. And that's what Fauci said at first. In February of 2020, a little over a month after the new coronavirus broke out in China, causing what came to be called COVID-19, Health and Human Services Secretary Sylvia Bruell asked Fauci if she and her fellow travelers should wear a mask for protection. He wrote back, quote, "The typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out virus, which is small enough to pass through the material," end quote. And yeah, that's what Western medical science concluded about 100 years ago on this question, and then it's been confirmed with hundreds of RCTs since then. Now, by the way, an RCT is a randomized controlled trial, considered the gold standard approach in science to determine what interventions are actually effective to protect from, say, the spread of a disease. Anyway, hundreds of these studies over the last 100 years have consistently established what Fauci said. The typical mask you buy in the drugstore is not really effective in keeping out virus, which is small enough to pass through the material. And by the way, that statement does not even take into consideration the larger problem of openings around the nose, cheeks, and chin created by masks that are not sealed to the face. Indeed, the only generally available mask that actually can or could offer some protection from virus would be the N95, properly fitted and sealed. But Fauci, the CDC, the WHO, all of them, expressly recommend against using these. Besides, they're not intended to be worn all day, every day. They should be professionally fitted and sealed when they are worn. And a seal that is problematically easily compromised, requiring you have to reseal them, making them ineffective against virus and certainly ridiculous to be used for public control. They should be changed after each use and not worn more than 2 hours at a time, which is pretty much beyond the tolerance of most people for these masks. The average tolerance is about 1 hour, with many finding them intolerable after only 30 minutes. So why did Fauci tell Brewell, don't bother wearing a mask for protection against the virus in February of 2020, and in March say, quote, there's no reason to be walking around with a mask, end quote. And then in April, he suddenly becomes the government's medical establishment's head cheerleader for masks, insisting we all wear surgical and or cloth face coverings to curb the spread of a virus. What happened here? I mean, we all watched this little elf gnome crossbred progeny tell us to mask up the children at school and enthusiastically advise us to mask up inside our homes for the holidays and recommend government-imposed mask mandates, all documented right here, even once suggesting two would be better than one. But apparently that went a little too far, even for the crazy people that run around in a mask while driving in their car alone. Figure that one out. I remember wondering, did they come up with a magic mask? Something that blocks virus particles that I'd never learned about, and yet also allows you to breathe? I wondered, where is the science supporting this dramatic change from February to April? Publicly, Fauci insinuated that scientific studies that he knew about supported using masks to protect against the virus. He explained that this new outlook on masks is, quote, based on the evolution of the science, end quote. And what I got a lot to say about that, because there's an evolution going on, all right. But in November of 2022, Fauci was asked about this under oath. During a deposition hearing, Fauci was asked to cite any study that changed his mind about masking against COVID-19. And Fauci punted. Yeah, he did not name a single study. Now, folks, the really interesting thing about this is that he could have. Now listen, he could have pointed to any number of what are called observational studies, the kind he ridiculed as being untrustworthy to support a scientific claim. The argument he used when explaining why he objected to the use or would not recommend the use of hydroxychloroquine for early treatment for COVID. When he said there were no RCTs done that show HCQ effective against COVID-19. And he explained that anecdotal retrospective cohort studies, which by the way are all under the category of observational studies, are consistently, he said, proven to be wrong. He didn't trust them. So, you see, there were plenty of anecdotal retrospective cohort studies based on what is called observational science that support mass use. Indeed, these are the only sorts of scientific studies that support masks as an effective intervention against the virus. And Fauci knows about these studies, but you got to give him some credit for some smarts, all right? He knows what an avalanche of criticism he received and how embarrassed he would be when his peers point out to him that he's using those studies to prove masks work. So he didn't cite any study because not one legitimate RCT shows scientific support for the masks that Fauci recommends to protect you against any virus, including COVID-19. In my book, Let My People Breathe, I examined the claims made by the government medical establishment, and I use real science to destroy the myth that the masks they recommend provide any meaningful protection against virus, either as personal protection or as source control. I prove scientifically masks don't work, and I explain why. Which, of course, leaves open the question, why did the CDC, Fauci, the WHO, et al., begin saying masks are not necessary, they don't work, and then flipped? And joined in by the entire government medical establishment following behind them, all began from the government, began to push mask wearing to protect against COVID-19. Revelations about Fauci's under-the-table footsie action with CCP, Chinese Communist Party, might suggest an answer to this question. There is reason to suspect Fauci was under pressure from China's director of their version of the CDC to include mask wearing in his COVID control strategy. What we know for sure, however, is that Fauci believed we should follow China's strategies to some extent. Yeah, he virtually said that. Fauci's a phony, folks. Government medical establishment shill, willing to compromise genuine science to accommodate mask superstition. The science does not lead us to masks. Let's conclude with a cost-benefit analysis, shall we? What's the benefit? Well, none. There is no benefit to wearing a mask for protection against viral spread. Okay, so what's the cost? Well, besides sacrificing your autonomy, your freedom, your dignity to breathe freely, here's what the science says. Moisture gathering on the inside of a common surgical or cloth mask is not only uncomfortable, it actually exacerbates other problems long associated with prolonged mask use. Acne, follicle occlusion causing lumps or nodules that can become inflamed and painful. Changes in the skin microflora around the mask area, which can cause rashes, hypoxia, reduced oxygen levels in the blood, and dyspnea, shortness of breath during exertion. And that just gets us started. Masks were never meant to be worn for hours at a time, day after day after day. Hypoxia, even at low levels, depresses the immune system by inhibiting the type of immune cells the body uses to fight viral infections. And just wait till you read my chapter on natural filtration. That'll blow your mind. You'll find out that the mask you're wearing is actually interfering with God's natural filtration system and actually aiding and abetting the viral attack on your immune system. All right, my friends, hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur. And Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The Davos devils are panicking. The World Economic Forum, WEF, is taking hits. What is Davos about? Why should you be paying attention to the World Economic Forum? Well, here are some articles answering these questions here in my notes. Essentially, Davos, Switzerland, is the place and the World Economic Forum is the event. These elites gather to discuss strategies for bringing the world under a one-world government. Yeah. These are the tower builders of our dispensation of the gospel, the gathering place and the strategizing forum for advancing Klaus Schwab's famous statement of agenda, quote, You will own nothing, and you will be happy. I can't do his accent, but you've heard him. You will own nothing, and you will be happy, and we mean it. And if you're not, in other words, all privately owned property will be transferred to the custody of the governments as holding agents for the super elite, the super rich, the elite snobs who imagine they're gods, and we exist to serve their pleasure. These people view us as animals to be kept in their cages, to eat the bugs they think we should eat, yeah, and ultimately to be food to satisfy their appetites. From the time of Nimrod until Christ, Satan, acting in his capacity as then prince of this world, has attempted to bring the world of men out from under God and under him instead. Every time he nears completion of this tower, used here as a metaphor representing Satan's efforts to bring man together into a globalist government controlled by him through a wicked ruler like Nimrod did in Genesis 10 and 11, through wicked children of disobedience, you know, the sort Satan can take captive at his pleasure. Well, each time he gets close, God intervenes, like he did when Nimrod built his first tower, representing his rule over all mankind. And God tears down the tower. When Christ came, well, friends, that was a major intervention into the earth on this matter. Christ coming into the world, binding Satan, spoiling his house, kicking him out, making him no longer prince of the world, but prince of the power of the air. It was a huge and major intervention. And Jesus established the church in the earth, the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, wherein the body of the believer, functioning as the temple of God, is the place where the Spirit of God is present, especially in their heart, the Holy of Holies, the dwelling place of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus envisioned, out of their bellies would flow rivers of living water. John 7, 38, 39, speaking of the Spirit of Christ, who is greater than the evil spirit of Antichrist operating in the tower builders right now. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, and that spirit is the spirit of Antichrist in conflict with the spirit of Jesus Christ in us. So long as we are here, Satan cannot bring forward the man of sin and take the world entirely into his power. So I expect that, once again, though the modern Nimrods advance ever so near completion of their tower, the church will arise. God willing, the Spirit of Christ will move, and this new tower will be brought to ruin once again. Let's do a touch and go on the democratic move to dump Biden. When you see globalist Soros-controlled CNN turn on Biden, you know it's time for him to go. Biden is becoming more of a liability than an asset. I think it was Tucker who observed, the left cannot afford to allow Biden to go down over the Hunter laptop revelations. They can't afford for Biden to be exposed as a foreign agent, a traitor. That would involve the incrimination of far too many in the Uniparty, and that's Republican and Democrat, and it could result in pushing their agenda back, I don't know, 10 decades or more. So they'll throw him to the wolves over the document scandal, and no doubt hope they will inflame the sentiment of the left to cry for Trump's head for the trumped up charges that he stole secret documents too. So yes, I think what they're aiming for. And of course, they know the best they can hope for on that is to give the left something to bellyache over, because the fact is Trump was president and had full discretion over the nation's secret documents. And second, the FBI knew exactly where these were the whole time. Trump showed these documents to these guys and where they were being kept. They said, put a lock on the door there. So he did. I mean, they could have taken them then. And he offered to let them take whatever they wanted. But they decided instead to stage a big SWAT attack, you know, and make this big, big public show of force. And it was all show. But they're trying to shore up, I believe, the continuing erosion of public support for the Uniparty. And they're trying to hold on to it as long as they can, hoping that this great war will break out and it'll just eclipse everything else and drag us all back under the power of the swamp. The J6 travestying of justice. Yeah, it is a word. And in this case, the word means making justice a travesty. Something false, distorted to the point of absurdity. We have real domestic terrorists like Antifa openly calling for a night of rage right now. I'm not talking about something that happened back in 2020. I'm talking about what they're calling for right now. Biden's replacement, Kamala Harris, is no doubt planning to launch a GoFundMe account to provide bail for the raging Antifa rioters like she did back then. No problem in blue states, you know. But some of those red states, well, they might just actually do something about these bands of malicious marauders who serve under the payment, no doubt, the funding of Soros. Perhaps a little Gates money's floating around in there too. I don't know. So anyway, Antifa literally calling for reciprocal violence. That's quote unquote. And why is all this going on? Some Antifa domestic terrorist took a shot at and wounded a police officer who responded by fatally shooting the terrorist that shot him. So reciprocal violence in this case would involve Antifa calling on their followers to kill cops. They want this to go on all across the nation, and they want to do it during a, quote, night of rage, end quote. Now, that's rioting, folks. They've spoken of that before. They taught us all of this back in 2020. Remember? It's getting real close to Second Amendment time, folks. And yet, Twitter does not cancel Antifa's accounts, and not one liberal peep of denunciation can be heard. Twitter continues to shadow ban and cancel conservative voices. What? Keeping Antifa on and blocking some good people like Joel Altman and Conservative Daily. What's going on? So the Twitter turf war chronicles continue. Now, here's an Epoch Times article that lays out the wonderful work Elon has done to expose the government co-opting Twitter to become its agent for censorship. And the evidence here shows us the same thing has happened with Facebook and YouTube. In fact, Zuckerberg said as much, that our government is being stolen from us and it is taken hostage by Nimrodian globalists, I like to call them, who want to take full control of American might in order that they might use it to establish dominance over all the resources of the earth and to take the sword that was ordained by God, read Romans 13, for the execution of God's wrath against evildoers, and to turn it instead against Christ's church and his temple, to drive the light and salt of this earth out of the public square and into hiding. And they have been, to some significant measure, successful. First, because so many who name the name of Christ really aren't following Christ at all. They don't depart from iniquity. Instead, they are, as Jesus called them, workers of iniquity. Now, these are not true saints, but fakes. Many of them deceiving themselves. Jesus, you know, did say many will come to him in the day of his judgment, and they will say to him, Lord, Lord, have not we done this and that and so on in your name? And so Jesus will say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. What? Let me tell you something, friend. Those who go about selling a gospel that does not call sinners to repent and believe, let me tell you something. Any who name the name of Christ are expected to depart from iniquity. It's sort of like in the Bible. And let Jesus tell you what he thinks of those who call him Lord, Lord, but do not depart from iniquity. He says to them, I never knew you. He does not say, I knew you once, but now I don't. He says, I never knew you. So because too many of Christ's remnant today are sitting around waiting on those who call themselves Christians, you know, to get involved and to wake up, but are in fact workers of iniquity, agents of iniquity, you understand this, servants of iniquity. Study the places where this expression is used, workers of iniquity. You'll be amazed. Consider, here's one to consider right now. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Psalm 64:2. Now, that's talking about the insurrection of the men of this world against the rule of Christ in the earth. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And by the way, that word anointed translates Mashiach. And that is the word Messiah, which is referencing Christ. And it goes on saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Look, I need to conclude, but I want you to know that when Jesus commanded these phonies to depart from him, and he called them workers of iniquity, he used a word for worker that includes the idea of a laborer, someone under hire to complete a task. And with the word translated iniquity, the expression together speaks of one who has sold himself to do wickedly. Many who call themselves Christians are in fact coming from a place Christ does not acknowledge. He says, I know not whence you are. Where are you coming from? So go back to your own place, effectively, is what he's saying. These people do not serve Christ Jesus the Lord. So that's why the enemy has gained so much ground. The remnant, the true believers, keep thinking and waiting on these people and thinking they're on our side when they're not. And attempting to cooperate with them in our cause only subverts our efforts into the service of the other side and ends up siphoning off a huge amount of our time and resources into vanity. Now, here you go. Everything done by the Nimrodians in America must be done in the name of love and truth. This is how they fool so many, especially, who think themselves Christians. So they cast their evil deeds behind a facade of love and truth. All who oppose their agenda to rebuild and complete the Tower of Nimrod today say, we must control speech in order to rid the public square of hate. We must control what people say on Twitter in order to ensure the truth is spoken and that love is encouraged and not misinformation or disinformation. Now, I hope you have ears to hear and you hear the serpent's rattle in all that talk. That's exactly like the mayor of Dallas, who many years ago, argued that she was going to require pastors to submit their sermons to her for approval before they preached in order to ensure there was no hate speech or untruths being propagated in the pulpits of her city. Can you believe this? There was such an outcry against this, it all fell apart. But I guess America's ready for it now. I mean, we know the FBI intruded into the public space of social media and used their power of coercion to intimidate. The Congress did as well, by the way. Same thing. Used their power of coercion to intimidate these media companies to participate with the government's effort to ensure that whatever is said on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and so on is loving and true. Watch out. When the government attempts to become the moral conscience of the people, the only thing the people will get is tyrannical government. The people themselves, individually and personally, are the only ones who have the moral authority to police what they say and hear. Government cannot control misinformation or disinformation because that allows the government to decide what is misinformation and what is disinformation. And we have a daily example of what a bad idea that is. Giving government power over truth and love necessarily leads to bringing the entire country under the oppression of lies and hate. Now, I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. And while there, click the subscription free button and receive every posting of the Brain Massage Show in your inbox on Friday night when it's posted. And also, find the contact button and send me an email. You can leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. Dial 1-805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. I'll be in my pulpit this Sunday, so I hope to see you in church.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.